As a matter of fact, this is the life's dream of Jeannie. She's gone. But Jeannie just wants she's told me this a thousand times. I just want everybody to be happy. Well, you know, you think about that. This morning, if we look at this promise from God that Jesus has personally made you and me, further proving his love for us, in that he has given us a real promise of peace. Each and every one of us has within our grasp the peace of God. Turn with me, if you will, to our text for this morning, John 14, 27. We're just going to have one verse, one passage this morning, John 14, verse 27. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today, Lord, for the promise of peace. And Lord, we know that the peace will only come through you. And I thank you for being our God. I thank you for being our Savior this morning. I pray for those that could not be here this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them. I pray for our country and its leaders. You know what a mess we've made of this world, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to lay your hands on this country as you have. That you just continue to protect our rights to tell others about Christ. Now I pray that you'd bless this message and the messenger. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. We'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now I think I'm going to probably blow your bubble just a little bit about peace, because if it was true that everyone could be happy and have total peace of mind, can you imagine the confusion that would go on in this world? Most Muslims want the Jews dead along with all Christians. So if they had peace of mind, we'd all be gone. Iran would like to get its nukes and blow up the United States, which pretty much does away with any hope of peace for you and I as Christians. It would also give North Korea the peace of mind that it could bomb us too. To make a long story short, there'd be no one left as far as Christians to have peace of mind. Now we here in the USA might ask, what would give you peace of mind? What would give a lot of people a peace of mind? You get several different answers. But the majority in all cases, or in the majority, will always have to do with money and stuff. Now when I say stuff, it's material things that we own. The very thing God tells us not to worry about. He tells us not to worry about that. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So you know, this stuff that you and I worry about, it's not going to be here. It's not going to go with us. It's going to burn up. Then again, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he explains that worldly goods that people think would make them happy are not even relevant in true happiness. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Keeping in mind now, we're looking for happiness. We're looking for contentment. And always keep in mind, we're only here for a little bit. So we need to keep in mind our peace and contentment in eternity. As you look at 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen," that's the stuff we want, okay? "But at the things which are not seen," which are spiritual things, of course. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So when we look at the things which are seen, and that's our material, that's our stuff. I refer to that as stuff. Now the things that are not seen is the spiritual. Now that's where you and I need to focus. If we look at Romans 8, 5 and 8, God warns us, gives us a special warning in Romans 8, 5 through 8. about allowing ourselves to get into the mindset of always wanting bigger and better stuff. Now they're building 80-inch TVs. Have mercy. I'd fill my whole one wall of my living room. And then the thing of it is, there wouldn't be nothing to put on it, would there? It'd just be a dead spot there. But anyhow, Romans 8, 5 through 8, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." That means worldly. To be worldly, lost, is death. "But to be spiritually minded is life," and here we go, "life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Hence they'll never be happy. We'll never be happy. To have peace with God, we must be willing to serve Him. Part of our servitude is to build the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 12:20, "He that is not with me is against me." So if we're not out there trying to tell people about Christ, we're not trying to win people to the Lord. God says we're scattering them. He says, "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not scattereth." So if we're not gathering, then our example is not great. Our example to other folks, our personal lives should reflect Christ to the point people would like to have that. Now, we cannot all do the same things. We know that. Being faithful to church is a big thing. Because in doing so, you're setting that example I was talking about to your neighbors, to your friends, and most of all, your family. Being faithful to the Faith Promise missions. Giving to missions. You can serve God through your tithing, but I remember when I said I could not afford to tithe. Well, that tithe doesn't belong to me to begin with. So if I don't give it, then I've just robbed the Almighty God. And do you think that's going to make Him happy? You think He's going to do some things to please you? I don't think so. You'd be surprised what God will do when you give Him what belongs to Him. I know I probably told you this before about the headaches that I had for 2 years after an automobile accident. I was in and out of ERs about every 3 weeks, getting a pain shot. I was out of church and not even thinking about giving my tithe, just taking my money and spending it on whatever. Didn't give my faith promise. Then one day God led me to this little church. Little one-room schoolhouse, the spouting was hanging down on one side, needed painted. But you know, I knew God wanted me there. So I got back in church. I made a promise to God when I walked through that door that I would be there every Sunday. I would not miss a service. Well, over the years, I have missed a few. I've had open heart surgery. I've had some knee replaced. But as far as just missing a service, I can say I have not just missed a service. But my point is about this, I got back in church and I was taking pain medication, had knocked the socks off of most people, and it would just barely take the edge off. And I don't know exactly, but within just a few months, I'm going to say a couple of months, I was down or completely off of my pain medication. I had no doubt why that took place, because I was doing what God wanted me to do, and I was pleasing Him. I was pleasing Him because I made a vow. I made a vow to God that I would do what the Word of God told me to do. And I have done it ever since. 7 years later, He called me to preach. Been doing that ever since. Amen. I'll tell you what, I worked for the telephone company. I had my own excavating business. this right here. Just don't get any better than this. It just doesn't get any better than serving God. And not anybody, excuse me, not everybody can serve God as a preacher, and they don't expect that. But he does expect us to serve him with the abilities that he's given you. That's what he's looking for this morning. And one thing we can be sure of, money is never going to buy it, my friend. As a matter of fact, God tells us the rich in a parable that his stuff was going to be the reason he was never saved. Look with me, will, the parable in Luke 18. 18 through 22. We all know this guy. We all know this rich young ruler. He had all kinds of money. He had all kinds of stuff. He had prestige. But look what happened to the poor guy. Luke 18, beginning in verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Now here comes this young man now. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, him, "Ye lacketh one thing." And here we go. Here's that stuff. "Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me." Now, Jesus was not talking about physically, I don't believe, in selling absolutely everything, although he was talking about taking care of the poor, because he does not expect you and I to give all of our stuff away. I do not believe he expects that at all. But you see, he was not willing to follow. He says, "Come and follow me." This young man never received a piece of God because he just took off. See, he wanted that so much, but not enough to give up his stuff. If you look with me at Mark 10:17, we see that this man wanted the peace of mind of knowing that he had eternal life. He says, "What shall I do to have eternal life?" As a matter of fact, he wanted so bad he was on his knees begging for it. Begging Jesus to tell him, what is it I have to do? In Mark 10:17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled unto him." See, here's a man. Now, he wanted it bad enough to lower himself, humble himself, to bow down on his knees before Jesus. "Came running unto him and kneeled to him and asked, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" This man had humbled himself probably more than he had ever done in his entire life. But yet being rich was so much more important to him than eternal life. Whatever his lifespan was on this earth, my friend, he is dead now. And he knows he made a horrible mistake. He made a horrible choice. Earlier, Jesus had spoken a parable about those that depend on their riches. The kind of people that never get enough. Proverbs 11:4. There's many, many people. The more they have, the more they want. Proverbs 11:4. "Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death." It's very important to understand exactly what really is important in this life. You don't need to turn there, but Luke 12:23 says, "Life is more than meat." In other words, life is more than stuff. And the body is more than raiment. You see, our life on this earth is so short. We're just here for a little bit of time. And most people really do not understand why they're here. We are here to set our lifestyle for eternity, to set our position in heaven for eternity, or to even get to heaven. Because, well, James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what you'll be on tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to be alive tomorrow or not, do you? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Watch your tea kettle boil sometime. See how far that vapor goes up. I might have said this before, but I had a math teacher figure out what 80 years were, 70 or 80 years compared to a million. Now, you know, eternity, there is. It's infinity. There is none. But 70 or 80 years, forget what it was, compared to a million years is 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and you're gone. Think about that. Compared to a million years, you got 3 seconds in this world. That's not very long. Now, I know to some of us, it seems like we've been on this earth a long, long time. And some of us have been. Some of us have been here longer than maybe we should be. But you see, we have to understand it. We have to keep in mind the fact if God wanted you to be rich, you'd be rich. See, I know for a fact that most of us couldn't handle it. And I would be right in that group. And at least handle it and remain faithful to the commands of God. God makes sure we understand that if we look at 1 Timothy 6:10 and 11. Look at that if you would. Now, I don't spend a lot of time talking about money. I'm talking about peace of mind here, what it takes to have peace of mind, and what it takes to have problems in your life. So if you look at First Timothy 6, beginning in verse 10. Now I want this very first passage here, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, back up and think about that a minute. It does not say money is evil. Money is not evil. You can have all the money God gives you, and it's not evil. It's only evil when we don't do the right thing with it. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, love, faith, love, patience, and meekness. But you see, when we talk about that, that's just how our flesh works. That's just how our flesh works. Money usually trumps anything else. And it almost always makes people greedy. If I had all kinds of money, I probably would want more. And that's the reason God don't give me a whole lot of money, because I wouldn't be able to handle it. It just makes people greedy. They always want more and usually forget to give God what's rightfully His. That, beloved, is the only thing that really is important in staying faithful to our Lord and Savior. Don't rob Him. Don't rob him. This morning we're going to be looking at a way we can all have peace of mind in this perverse and sinful world today. Peace cannot come on our own. One thing we must remember, having peace of mind is that it is impossible to have it under our own power. Without Christ, complete peace of mind is an unreachable goal. And that's because it can only come. It can only come complete with complete and total faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It can only come when we know that without our Savior, without the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross that day, that we would be lost and headed for hell. It was a day when you and I realize that we needed to repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sins and ask Christ to come into our lives. That's when peace begins. You may not have total peace right at that point, but if you're like me, you remember that time. I can take you to the exact spot where I did that. Not everybody can do that, and that's all right. But our troubles are not because of God. Many people think God is not a loving God because he causes problems in your life. Back in 2013, a 47-year-old man, he was in my church in Calvary for years, him and his whole family. And one day he was out mowing the yard and he come in and he didn't feel well and he collapsed in his wife's arms in front of his children. 37 years old, died. Simply fell into his wife's arms. We look at these things and they say, that'll probably scar the kids for life. But who knows why? God says there's always a reason. For all things work together for good. Never forget Romans 8:28. We always look at these things and wonder why. But I know that they had kind of dropped off a little bit just after I left. And they were back attending all three services again. And as Christians, we must always be aware. The problems, he didn't die because he was back in church. He was died because God had a reason. God had a set time when Mike was born. It was appointed unto him a time to die. And that time was that exact moment and day. You and I have that time. We have a time appointed to die and then the judgment. That's what we got to think about, folks. As Christians, we must always be aware that man's problems are not because God does not love us. If God did not love us, there's no way in the world you and I could imagine what our lives would be today. He doesn't want to see us suffer because of sin. It's our own fault. We're sinners. We're all sinners, and none come short of the glory of God, for all have sinned. And that's you and I, folks. I'm not saying Mike died because he sinned, because if that were the case, you and I would all drop dead right now, wouldn't we? If anybody would still be alive, they'd have to be Christ. Because we would all just drop dead if Mike died because of sin. Although sin is what caused man to work and to eat and to suffer, but our problems do not necessarily stem from our personal sins, because we all have that appointed time. Now, I'm not saying that you're not chastised for your sins, because you are. You're chastised on this earth. But it is important to remember that God never does anything without a problem or without a purpose. God has never made a mistake. He's always done the right thing. Every one of us is offered peace of mind, free from worries that man's always fought. Look back at our text for this morning, if you will. John 14:27. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, promising us. Back up in verse 6 of John 14. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So these people that think they can come by baptism, or they can come by joining a church, or they can come by just being a member of the church, they forgot to read the Bible. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, not a single man, is going to come into the kingdom of God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And look at that promise he made us in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Jesus has gone back to heaven. And he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. Now look at that. That's a gift. I give it to you. Now do you take it? It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. You can't get peace in the world. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, our hearts don't need to be troubled because all things do work together for good. We may not understand it. We may not understand it at the time, but I'm telling you, it works together for good. We see here Jesus telling us not to be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm probably one of the best worriers the world has ever known. I lay in bed and I worry and I worry and I fuss and I fret. I roll and I turn. How stupid is that? You know, with all my worrying, with all my fretting, it's going to change nothing. Nothing. It can't change what I did a minute ago or change what I did a year ago. But if I use it, I can change what I'm going to do. But if we spend time praying instead of worrying, if I'd spend that time praying instead of rolling and turning and tossing and worrying and be praying, I'm sure I'd have a lot more peace of mind. See, worrying is nothing more than a sin. I'm laying there, your own preacher laying there rolling around sinning. But it's a human nature. And we must try to fight that. I try to fight it. The Bible's very clear that we're not to worry about anything. There's nothing we have to worry about. We have Jesus Christ. We have the God, our Creator, taking care of us and telling us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, one of my favorite passages. And as you all know, I got lots and lots and lots of favorite passages. But this is a good one. If we're looking for peace in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. Well, be careful means don't worry. Don't roll and toss and worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Wow, hard to be thankful when things aren't going your way, isn't it? But that's part of it. If you want peace, we got to be thankful. I had a friend of mine who was supposed to meet me here at the church, a preacher friend of mine. He's a pastor up at West Salem, and we get together a couple times a month. And he was late. And I texted him. I said, what's going on? Oh, he says, I got a flat. I'm down here on 250. And I know him. He gets a little upset at things. And I never heard back from him. So I texted him the Romans 8:28, and, you know, told him if you hadn't had the flat tire, who knows what's going to happen, all these kind of things. He hasn't answered me yet. But, you know, I know he's feeling guilty because I know the man. He's a great man of God. And you don't stop and think about it. He's got a flat tire and 250. He can't get the spare tire off. Where would you and I be? We'd be driving ourselves crazy, but it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here we go in verse 7. Now, he says if we do that, if we're willing to do that in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, you see here begins the concept of how you and I can really achieve peace of mind that we all so desperately want. Because it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. You see, when we worry about it, we have rejected his command not to worry. Then lastly, in Philippians 4, 6, if we truly want peace, we are told to pray with a thankful heart. Now, we just talked about that. You see, it's after this promise. God promises that unbelievable peace. Can you imagine a peace of mind that you had no worries? You were just happy. I think my wife sometimes sits around in that condition. I wish I could do it. God love her. But anyhow, you see, you and I both know that that's a whole lot easier to do, easier said than to do. Even through this, even though this peace from God is promised, and we know God always keeps his promise, it's up to you and I. Most of us still have problems receiving the gift of peace. The majority of people in the world today refuse the gift of salvation, but here we are Christians refusing the gift of peace. Most of us still have trouble praying, pleading, at the same time being thankful. And we all know on our own, or if we think about it on our own, you can't do it anyhow. Matthew 21:22 says, "In all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now you think God's lying here? If you think he's lying, just tear that page out and throw it away. But he's not lying if you ask believing. Now, if you and I are going to reach this goal of having peace of mind, there has to be some things we believe and have faith in. First of all, we must believe that Jesus has total authority. We have to believe it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. We have to believe that. And we have to believe Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." God, or Christ, has all power. That means if you and I are to receive peace at all, it's going to come through the source. It's going to come through the same source as our salvation came. And that's faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read to you John 3:35-36. "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Now there's peace for eternity. "And he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Our very salvation comes from the faith of the Son of God. And peace also comes with that same faith. The peace that Christ is offering you and I here this morning is a peace, of course, we saw in Philippians 4:7, it passes all understanding. It's a peace God offers. He offers it to us. And you know what? It's his to do what he wants to do with it, isn't it? All power is given unto Christ. So that's the power of giving you and I the peace of mind if we're willing to accept it. But you see, we have to meet some certain qualifications in order to reach this free gift. Back to our text, I'm just going to read it again. We've read it about 3 times. "Now, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you." It's free. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Here Jesus repeats again the fact that it's a gift. "Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we see we must have faith in his authority in order to have peace of mind. And you know, we have to believe. We have to ask believing. We have to ask believing that he's God, that he is the creator of all things, and that he wants us to have this peace. So when you and I do not have peace of mind, I'm not being hard-hearted here, it's our own fault. Because God has just told us how to get it. And we all know. Another favorite passage, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So we have no excuse. We just have to get this flesh and this spirit in our hearts working together. Because we can do all things. That doesn't leave anything out. I ask you this morning, do you have peace? Really? You have really have peace? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for the gift that you offer us of peace. Lord, I ask you this morning that maybe you would help us in that situation. We're going to do a short invitation if everybody would stand and just think Just think, do I have peace this morning? You know, he says, I'll give it to you. So we know that it's up to you and I in our hearts, to want this peace of mind. We need to want this peace of mind and be willing to do what it is he's told us to do to get it. Lord, I thank you for being our God. I thank you for this promise. And if there's anyone here this morning, maybe you have a need. Doesn't have to be about your peace of mind. Maybe you got a friend that needs salvation. Maybe you just got something on your heart that God's talking to you about. Good old-fashioned altar's available at any time. We're going to do this last verse. If no one comes. You can only have peace when you give him your heart and your soul. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Sharon, it's good to see you here this morning. Pastor, would you close in a word of prayer for us, please?
Heavenly Father,